I'd like to thank everybody for coming out in a cold morning here in South Florida. I see the sweaters. I can see my breath in the air. I guess I appropriately named this share Gone with the Wind. You could feel the winds for Hanukkah already coming in. And appropriately named Gone with the Wind. Today's share focuses on one aspect of Hilchos Hanukkah. I think it would be correct to begin with. Before preparing the share, I went through Rabbi Sharfman's shirim that he has on Hanukkah. And Rabbi Sharfman himself has on Yeshiva's website 8 or 9 shirim all about so many different aspects of Hanukkah. I listened to some of them. On one of them, he remarked an amazing line that of all the holiday halachas that you have in Yiddishkeit, Pesach, Sukkot, Yom HaNarayim, so many holidays and halachas, he thought the halachas of Hanukkah in some ways were the hardest halachas. Very interesting. There's a lot of movement, people go here and there, and there's many shilas that do come up. And I obviously would recommend anyone to take a listen to one of his wonderful shirim there. I'm sure you'll gain a lot. Today's share is on a topic I do not believe he addressed directly. The concept of Kivsa in Ozakakla. And I'd like to introduce the topic with the scenario which definitely comes about. Now, nowadays, it's a little bit easier. A lot easier. Many people have these pre-filled oil, I don't know what you call them, disposable lights that you basically just open the package, twist off the cap, put it in your menorah, light it, and in 3 seconds flat, you did the mitzvah. I'm young enough still to remember the olden days. You used that, if you want to light with oil, you have to get yourself a bottle of oil. Then you'd have to get these like floating wicks, which if ever there was a product made in China, which you know our country should not approve of, it was these things. You try to stick this little piece into a wick and these things inevitably will fall upside down. You would say, oh, I must be doing something wrong. Like, read the instructions in the package. You take like a second one, maybe it needs like 2 to hold it. And you spend your time, meanwhile you're putting in the oil, your shirt is like stained with like 5 oil stains, never to come out again. And you have it, you're putting in, put in the oil, then get these wicks together, put the wicks in, you light it, finally it lights, quick. Everyone in your family gathered together around the menorah, take a picture. You take the picture, and then poof, it goes out. I'm sure a story like this has happened to many over here. These things are not, it's not a perfect science. And inevitably, over Hanukkah, we are going to come across the problem of our Hanukkah candles going out. What do we do then? And it's an important shaila. It has many ramifications, many situations. And what I'd like to do this morning is discuss it in depth. There's probably going to be 2 parts to the share today. The first part is the practical, the most practical. I want to go through 7 basic scenarios which are clearly brought in halakha of what to do in these situations where you're candles where your menorah goes out. Then I want to get to 3 interesting halachic issues, which is not brought down in the Shulchan Aruch or the Mishnah Berurah for the most part. and try to get to the underpinnings, the understanding of this whole idea of Kivsa and Yizakakla. And I'd like to share something I just discovered. I guess I had it all along. I just discovered last night in my notebook from years ago in Kol. Amazing idea. The Gemara begins, it's a Gemara in Shabbos, that's where the story of Hanukkah and many of the halakhas of Hanukkah are found. A Gemara in Shabbos on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. Very interesting Gemara to see, not just for Hanukkah, but for general ideas. The Gemara says like this, Amar Bzeira Amar Rav, Masna. V'amri l'amar Bzeira Amar Rav. Silos v'shmanim sha'amru chachamim, ein l'anligam em b'shabbos. There are certain wicks and oils that the rabbis say you shouldn't light with on Shabbos, because these aren't the best to light with, and you might come to tinker with it. Madlikim ben b'chanukah, ben b'chol, ben b'shabbos. When it comes to Chanukah, we're not worried. You could use them. Amar Reb Yirmiyah, my taima, to Rav. What's the reason of Rav? Why do we downgrade them? Chanukah allow you to use these lower grade materials. Kasava kivsa ein zakakla. Because we hold, even if the menorah goes out, kivsa, if it extinguishes, ein zakakla. You are not required to relight it. So even if it goes out, don't worry about it. You didn't, there's nothing more to do. And anyway, you're not supposed to be learning and sitting there by the light of the candle. You're not going to get benefit from that light. So therefore, even if it goes out, it's not like Shabbos where you're using the candles. You're using that as your light for Shabbos. So therefore, you have to be more strict. You shouldn't play with it. You shouldn't come to tinker with it. But when it comes to Hanukkah, you could use all these things. Amar Rabbanan Kameda Abaye Mishmeid Rabbi Yirmiyah, the rabbis said it to Abaye in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah, V'lo kiblu. He did not accept this halacha. Abaye did not accept this halacha that we could use inferior materials for Hanukkah because of Kivsa and Zakakla. Really, the Gemara before even talked about there is an atzad in halacha to say Kivsa Zakakla. That if it goes out, you do have to relight it. But he also, Ravin, when Ravin came, Amar Rabbanan Kameda Abaye, Mishmeidu Rabbi Yochanan. Then they said it over, no, the origin of Zalacha really stems back from Rabbi Yochanan, the Kiblu. Then Abaye accepted it. The Gemara is a little bothered by it. Amar, Izaka Gemriyos Lashmaisa Meakara. Hey, I would be more happy if you told me originally that you heard it from Yochanan. I would have accepted it earlier. I mean, the Hagamra. What difference does it make? Okay, so earlier, it seems Abaye didn't accept this. Once they said it in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, then he accepted it. I guess he respected Rabbi Yochanan more. So the Gemara says, Nafkamina Lagirsa Diyankasa. Very interesting idea. Girsa Diyankasa, the simple understanding of it, is the Torah that people learn when they're little kids. The advantage of having a Jewish education from young is that the things you learn as a little kid stays with you. The imprint of that is embedded in a young child's mind forever. That's the simple, classic idea of Girsa Diyankasa. This Gemara is saying, no, it applies any stage of life. Right? Abaye here wasn't a little kid in Cheder. He was an Amora that they were passing halachas in front of him in the Gemara. But the concept is, whatever a person hears earlier in life, don't think it's limited to the time you were back in Cheder. No. The earlier a person hears something, appreciates, understands a concept in Torah and halacha at an earlier age, that forever has an impact for the rest of your life. So that's what Abaye was saying. Hey, if I would have heard that earlier in the name of Abaye, the name of Rabbi Yochanan, I would have accepted it, and that would have been part of my mindset, and I'll use it from this point forward. It's a very interesting and important idea to know the importance of learning, and no matter how old we are, we can always learn new things which will be part of us. Beautiful idea. Continues the Gemara. Gemara says, V'kivsa in zakakla? Are we ready to say that if it goes out, you don't have to relight it? For a minute, I'll ask you a contradiction. Mitzvasa mitshitishka hachama ashitichla regal min ashuk. Important to halacha. When are you supposed to light your Hanukkah candles? The Gemara says, from the time that it gets dark until tichla regal min ashuk. Until people, at least in those days, stopping in the marketplace because it got dark. Which practically nowadays, we say is a half hour. So why is the Gemara giving us this window to light from the time it gets dark until tichla regal min ashuk? My love, di kifsa hardamadukla. The Gemara assumes, you know why they're giving us this window? For if it goes out, then we should relight it. The Gemara says, lo, dilom adlik madlik. This Gemara is telling you when is your starting point for light. But not that if it goes out, that you'd be responsible to relight it. That's what the Gemara basically concludes. Now, what emerges from this Gemara, you see in this Gemara, the Gemara itself, as we'll see in a moment, doesn't pasken. It brings both. It's choshish for both opinions. Sounds like there are two opinions out there. Obviously, with major practical ramifications. If your menorah goes out, do you relight it or not? The Gemara here is bringing two opinions. There's one opinion of kivsa ein zakakla, that you don't have to relight. But the Gemara here is grappling with another opinion, that no, maybe you should have to relight. What's our basic understanding of these two opinions? So I didn't put on the sheets, but there's two sources for, I would call, the basic opinion. One is a sefer by the Nesivos called Makor Chayim, Nesivos HaMishpat. We quoted here before, the arch nemesis of the Ksos. So he has a sefer in Halacha, Makor Chayim. And I also found it in the sefer of the Shal Shuvah's Beis Ephraim, who was also a contemporary of the Ksos and Nesivos. So they say a very nice, what they call basic understanding in Halacha and Lamdas of these two opinions. The opinion of Kivsa Ein Zakakla, that you don't have to relight, they say the mitzvah of Halachas Ner Chanukah is just a Maisa mitzvah. Just the act of doing the lighting. As long as your action of lighting was well prepared to burn for 30 minutes, 30 minutes post the time of lighting, as long as your act of lighting was well prepared, it had the potential, there was no winds, there was enough oil, everything was good, even if it goes out, kivsayin zakakla, you did the mitzvah. Why did you did the mitzvah? Because the mitzvah was the act of lighting. Did I do the act of lighting? I sure did. And he owns it. The other opinion, the opinion of the Manda Amar, kivsa zakakla, he says no. There might be some mitzvahs in the Torah or Dina D'Rabbanon that we focus on the mice, on the action. But here, by Halakos Ner Chanukah, what we are focused on is the result. We want those candles to be burning for people to see, to appreciate the Persume Nisa. It's not just a one-time action of lighting it. We need more than that. You have to be able to produce, to bring to me the result. If the result is not there, then you have to redo it. We need the result of candles burning for a half hour. That is the way these most Achronim here are explaining the mitzvah of Halakos Ner Chanukah. If you view it as the action of lighting, as long as you had the potential to burn for a half hour past the proper time, you did the mitzvah. Even if it goes out, okay? It went out, but you did the mitzvah. The mitzvah was that one moment in time of you lighting the menorah. The other opinion, the opinion of Kivsa Zakakla, that if it goes out, you do have to relight. They say, no, the mitzvah is not just the action. The mitzvah is a result. you need the result of it burning for a half hour. And if you don't have that, you have to redo it. That's the basic understanding, most people say.
But even if you're not obligated, can you still redo it?
So I will get to the practical halachas in a minute, and that's going to be chief amongst them. So that's the Gemara, that's the understanding that the Achronim have in this Gemara. Now, practically, halacha, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, second thing on your sheets, hadlaka osa mitzvah. The lighting is what makes the mitzvah. The Mishnah Berurah explains that it means the act alone of lighting the menorah. As soon as you do it, you're yotze the mitzvah, seemingly like we just explained. Lafikach in kivsa kodim sha'avar zmano eina zakakla. Therefore, if it goes out after you lit it, halacha l'maisa, Shulchan Aruch is paskening, nobody is arguing. Halacha is you do not have to relight. Very important halacha. So if you light your menorah and everything was set perfectly and it goes out, don't feel bad. This is not like sukkahs, simen mishamayim, it's raining, Hashem doesn't like us. No. Practical halacha, Shulchan Aruch says, we paskin kifsa ein zakakla. If it's extinguished, you do not have to relight it. Yes? So it sounds like, according to the way we explained it, the main thing is the action. The action of lighting, did you light it in front of people? To be honest, you don't even have to light it in front of people, even for you yourself. The act of you lighting a menorah, that is persume nisa, that sha'asal on the... That you could say the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim Avaseinu Bayam Ameim Bazman Hazeh. Just the mere action of lighting, you did it. It's good to know.
Why are we all lighting the window?
Oh, okay. First of all, I would, you know, there are debates where exactly you do light. But this, what Harvey is baiting me, is in to talk about the topic of Persume Nisim, which is greatly misunderstood. We happen to have the schuss here in the Beis Medrash this week. We had a wonderful Sephardi Rosh Kollel from Eretz Yisrael come and speak to the Bachrim. And he talked about many misconceptions. You know, he comes to America and he sees, you know, big menorahs outside. And he's like, what's this all about? Right? The idea, Pirsume Nisa is not for the Goyim. And nowadays, Pirsume Nisa is not necessary even for the Jews in our neighborhood. The main Persume Nisa is for the B'nai Bais, the people in our house. And that's its own share, its own topic. But the idea is that as long as you did the action of lighting, that's the mitzvah, you're good to go. Now, there'll be a few more questions, but maybe as I go through the halakha here, you'll see. I hope to address them. So, halakha l'maisa. Halakha number one is you don't have to relight me'ikar adin. Now, however, if you look in the Ramah does bring v'imratza lahachmer al'atzmo. If you want to be machmer, this is a chumra. You don't have to do this. But if one wants to, the Ramah writes to relight lachso hadlika, you wouldn't make a new bracha. So there is room for one to relight. It's a chumra. You don't make a new bracha when you relight. The Mishnah Berurah further qualifies this. If you look in Sifkat and Chav Zayin, he writes a little bit stronger. V'achronim kasvu, v'achronim write, d'roi l'hachmer l'achzer l'adlika b'chol inyan. In all scenarios where it does go out, they recommend you do this. Now again, me'ikar adin, do you have to relight? Absolutely not. The Ramah told us it's a chumra. The one additional step the Mishnah Berurah is adding is it's a recommended chumra. There are some chumras that, okay, here the Chafetz Chaim is saying, it's recommended you do this. Now, let's say this was your last oil and last this, and there's nowhere to get another one. You don't have to make yourself crazy, right? If your wife is frustrated about it already, and forget it, don't do it again, okay? Right? Again, in general, it's roi lahachmer, it's roi, it's fit to do this. But again, the ikar adin, one does not have to relight. What happens? This is all assuming you lit it with everything ready for it to take effect. Let's say you lit it in a windy spot. So there, the Mishnah Berurah writes, going back to Chaf Hey in the Mishnah Berurah, second line over there, third line, if I lit my menorah in a place of wind and went out, there, that never was part of what the Gemara was talking about. There, everybody agrees, Zakakla, you have to relight it. Zakakla, you are obligated. Lachzor l'adlika b'makom shein ruach matzoi. You'd have to relight it in a new spot where there's no wind. Dizavaki ilo nasim b'shem and kishir. That's equivalent to you putting not enough oil, which also would be a problem. U'makom yivarech alav. But nevertheless, you should not make a bracha on it. That's how the Mishnah Berurah is paskening. So if you did not put enough oil, or if you put it in a place where there's wind and it's going to go out, so there the Mishnah Berurah is bringing. That was never part of our discussion in Agamar. Agamar was talking about a case of where you did everything perfectly, but where you failed, you put it in a place you didn't realize, but there was wind there, you didn't realize you didn't have enough oil for it to burn for 30 minutes. There, everyone would agree that you're obligated to relight. You wouldn't need a new bracha, but you're obligated to relight. So that is a very important qualification. You have to make sure that we have a heter. If you did everything perfectly, kivsa in zakakla. But if something was lacking, you don't have enough oil, you put it in a place where there's winds, you had a bad wick, then you'd be obligated to relight it. Now, not every time is it so scientific what went wrong. So that alone would be a reason to definitely, if it goes out, to be roi l'hachmer and to come and relight it. Yes?
What's the svar l'yibar, Moshe? If you didn't do a good maisa, so that your bracha was not counting any maisa, or if you hold kav tzedakah, well, for sure you have to, kav tzedakah, you have to, so why would it be l'yibar?
That's a good question. And in fact, your argument, I believe some people do say, this opinion of the Mishnah Berurah is not accepted by all. I believe there are some that do say in a scenario where you didn't have the raw materials, you did something wrong, that perhaps you would have to make a new bracha. But the Chafetz Chaim in general, the sheet in many other places, is very suffic brachas lahakol, and he's nervous about the potential of a person saying a bracha when it's not needed. And he usually leans more on that side. That's a good point.
This entire thing is based on Yom Kippur, though.
Yes.
This entire thing is based on...
Right, we pass an halacha, you don't, right. Correct. Now let me throw another scenario, just agavurcha. I saw there's a lot of printed, in Israel, the common thing that people do there is they light outside. And they light outside in these like boxes. So I saw a lot of discussion. How does that work? If you're going to light in a box, you're going to have to open the box to light. When you open the box, you're opening it to wind. So if it goes out, hey buddy, you open the box, you are lighting outside. Gets into very, very tricky situations. Kif we paskin, like you said, it might even be shalos of brachos of latala. So, I don't know, it could be, I've actually seen around this neighborhood too. I definitely remember in New York, some people, they go to Israel for some Hanukkah, and they come back next year with their box, Zecher the Hanukkah of Israel. And they'll light their box outside and this. Now, usually in Florida, ain't no problem because they don't have winds, but I don't know. The winds that are coming in today might make for problems. So in general, that is a tricky scenario of lighting in a box where wind could come. Because like we said, what you're supposed to do, the whole idea of this Gemara of kivsa in zakakla, of not relighting, is assuming everything was done well with no means for it to go out. You have good wicks, you have enough oil, and there's no wind. So in general, let's put it in a smart spot. Yes?
Is this all the candles being out? Or later days?
I knew I'll get to that. We'll get to that one. You made my top 7 list. Number 4, lighting on Erev Shabbos. Now this is an important halacha. And I remember as a kid, it's an important halacha because people misunderstand it. You know, there are people, you know, the idea of lighting with oil is the better mitzvah to do. Oil is a better mitzvah because the nace was done with oil. So there's a hider to use oil. But of course, one is yotzi the mitzvah if one uses candles. However, very important, on Friday, one cannot use the classic colorful candles. You're not going to be yotzi the mitzvah. Because those candles only have enough wax to burn for 1.5 hours to the minute. And
if you're only lighting one in
the right. And those on Friday, automatically, you're going to need more than 1.5 hours. Because the idea is we're always makabel Shabbos earlier, because we don't want to get into any issues of malacha. So you have to have enough for the candle to burn from when you light before Shabbos through the 30 minutes post Zman HaLakam. So that's why if one does use candles in Shabbos, nowadays they do make taller candles, or sometimes people use those Shabbos wax candles, or the heavier ones. That's what you have to use when it comes to Shabbos lighting. But again, either way, when it comes to candles or oil, you have to have enough material to burn into 30 minutes post Zman HaLakha into Shabbos. Now, being the fact that it has to burn longer, this discussion that we're having is a very prevalent discussion on Shabbos. Because the longer time period you need it to burn, the more potential issue you have of it going out. So what happens on Shabbos? So let's first start the situation like this. Let's say it goes out before our Makabel Shabbos. It's Friday afternoon. I light my candle. And it goes out on Erev Shabbos. What does one do then? So this is also Beferish in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch writes in the second line, this idea of Kivsa Ein Zakuk La is Valfilo Kivsa Be'erev Shabbos. Even if it goes out in Erev Shabbos, Kodim Gabal Shabbos, Shadayin Humi Bod Yom, it's still considered day. It's not nighttime. The time to light menorah is nighttime. Your candles, your menorah, never made it. Seemingly, it didn't get to the starting line. But the Chiddush of Kivsa in Zakuk La is so strong, as long as you did the action, even though you did the action at an earlier time, the halacha is you do not have to relight it. The source of this halacha is a famous Trumas HaDeshen. It comes up in the Gemara in Yevamos on Haman Beis, Hechsher Mitzvah, where the Trumas HaDeshen, so Rishon, was ready to paskin that even in such a scenario, the power of your action is so good, you yotze. Now, one I would add to this, for the record, there is a Taz, the Mishabura brings him in Sivkat and Chavav, that does argue and says if it did go out on Friday afternoon before your Makabel Shabbos, before you went to Shul, as a man, you're usually not Makabel Shabbos till you get to Shul, till Lechadodi. Maybe there's an Inyan Tosefa Shabbos, one perhaps should do it earlier sometime. But definitely, before you go to Mincha, before you go to Shul, you were not yet Makabel Shabbos. So the Mechaber is posking that one does not have to relight. But the Mishabura does bring a Taz who would take the opinion in such a scenario you should relight. It sounds like the Mishabura is posking like the Machaber, but bringing, there is a Shita of the Taz. And then later, in Sivkat and Chav Zayin, when the Mishabura brought the idea that in general, this is a recommended Chumra to do, to relight, he says, Uviprat on Erev Shabbos. Certainly in Erev Shabbos, when you're lighting before the time, you should definitely go and relight. I would add as an aside, these scenarios sometimes do come up. I don't want to get into the potential cases when this should be done, because it's very not pashut. But there might be some scenarios where a person has to leave his house, and it's before the Zman HaBaka, they're going away, maybe he has a flight. So it could be you have some Rabbanim who would tell you to maybe light early. Not so simple. But these type of scenarios, Kivsa in Zakakla, but if it goes there early before, these will come on not just in Erev Shabbos. Now, one other thing the Mishnah Berurah brings. Let's say you were Mekabel Shabbos already early, but you know your neighbor next door, he's last minute Larry. He's always jumping out of the shower, you know, while you're on your way to shul. So the Mishnah Berurah does bring down, if your candle does go out, even after you were Mekabel Shabbos, one would be allowed to ask another fellow Jew to light on his behalf. Interesting to know. So again, halakhically, kifsa in zakakla, you do not have to relight even on Erev Shabbos. But there is an idea, in fact, it's more of an idea. When the Chafetz Chaim recommends it on any other day of Hanukkah, he's certainly recommending it on Friday. The one day it might be most important to relight is when your candles go out on Friday. So if it's before you go to shul, you can relight it. If it's after you were already Mekabel Shabbos, for whatever reason, you could ask last minute Larry to help you out and do it. Amir Yisrael, when he wasn't Mekabel Shabbos for this, is allowed. Just for the record, I'll put this in parentheses, I did find in the back of your sheets, in Oz Vav, there's a piece from the Mikrai Kodesh. The Mikrai Kodesh was a piece of Frank of Yerushalayim, chief rabbis of Yerushalayim, early Yishuv. And he permits even to tell a guy, even post Azman, when a Jew can't do Malach, but even Bein Hashmashos, he permits you to tell a guy to relight it. But that's very not pashut, and I'm not sure if that's accepted by everybody. Yeah. I'm feeling quite jealous of all your lights you have over there. Can you do me a favor? Okay. So that gets us through what I call my top five halachas. I have two more I'd like to share with you. And this is something also that comes up. You know, people leave. People have to go somewhere, right? We say traveling. So I light, you know, Baruch Hashem, at the right time to light. But I really got to go. So one is allowed, once it burnt the shear, 30 minutes. One could blow it out. Assuming it was, again, a shear of 30 minutes, I could blow it out and go my way. Because obviously people don't want candles burning their house. It's quite dangerous. You know, I guess if you could have someone watch it, someone's by your house, someone could look on your house, maybe that's better, I don't know. But once it built and burnt the 30 minutes, Pashem Shah, you did your mitzvah, kitikuna, you know, the mitzvah is 30 minutes, lav dafka, there's any added mitzvah of burning for an hour, 2 hours. These pre-made things come with oil to burn forever. Pashem Shah, there's no real mila in such a thing. So you could have someone blow it out. However, this is an important halacha. Let's say a person decides, didn't know this halacha about 30 minutes. Or said, I'm blowing it out after 20 minutes. I saw if Shmuel Kamenetsky brings down, you're not Yotze. Well put, he blew it. Why are you not Yotze? Shmuel argues, the same way if you're lacking the proper wicks, proper oil, a windy spot, if you know you're going to blow it out, there is no potential for this to burn for 30 minutes. And he says, even in a scenario where you had a change of heart, you originally lit it with intention for it to blow out. But you changed your mind, did tshuva, nah, I'm not going to blow it out. Didn't work. Very interesting idea. It shows how far this goes. This idea that Kivsa and Zakat Law were explaining, because you have everything ready, the potential for it to burn for 30 minutes. But if you were going to be the one to blow it out before, Shmuel says, then you're not Yotzin. If you had in mind to do it before 30 minutes, that would not work.
What about the other way around?
That what?
Where you lit it with the intention to stay, and then something came up, like an emergency.
So, very good question. So this one I did not want to quote publicly. But if you are bringing it up, Shmuel thinks it's very not possible to do that. I'm not sure. And the person writing the Sefer says that he harassed Rav Shmuel about it. And Rav Shmuel is basically telling him, find any Eitzan way for someone else to look in on your candles. But I don't get that. I don't understand that. But that is what he said. It's in print. Now, finally, the seventh halacha before I get to my obscure halachas. He says, it's brought down, this was a point that was brought up before. Chavetz Chaim bring this in the Bir Halacha. Another important qualification. What we're talking about in the Gemara into the Shulchan Aruch, into a practical halacha of Kivsa and Zakakla, the scenario of the case is the following. I lit my candles. They were all lit. And then, a few minutes later, they go out. What happens, for example, it's the third night of Hanukkah, and this definitely happens. You light your first candle from the left. You light your second candle. Oh no, the first candle you lit just went out. That's not part of our discussion we had till now. That's something which the Chafetz Chaim brings in the Bir Halacha, according to everybody after we light. Because if you're trying to do the Mahadrin to light multiple candles, you didn't do that yet. Because you never had, let's say it'll be the second night of Hanukkah, you never had your two candles. Because before you lit the second one, the first one went out. So in such a scenario, you would have to relight them. The order we could talk about. But there, the Chafetz Chaim, the Bir Halacha on the bottom of your sheets, brings that if they go out before you complete it, on, let's say the seventh night of Hanukkah, of lighting all seven, everyone agreed, if you're trying to do Mahadrin, then you should relight them all. And that's a responsibility that will be a chiyuv if you're trying to do that mitzvah. Okay. Those are my top seven halachas of Kivsa and Zakakla. Now I'd like to share with you and get into what I call phase two, understanding better this idea of Kivsa and Zakakla. So I found three obscure halachas. One halacha I found, which is somewhat of a cousin to what we just saw in the Bir Halacha. The Ksav Sofer, the son of the Ksav Sofer, has a discussion in Shal Sechuvas, it's on the back of your sheets. He has a discussion, when we talk about, when the Gemara is talking about relighting, are they talking about just your one candle you're using for the chiyuv, the mitzvah of Halachas Ner Chanukah? Or are they also talking about all the other candles? Maybe even the opinion in the Gemara of Kivsa Zakakla, the relighting, only applied, you know, let's say all your candles went out. So you don't have any mitzvah here. You didn't do your basic chiyuv, it's not here. So then you would have to relight. But in terms of, we know of Hanukkah, anything beyond one candle, any night of Hanukkah, is hiddur mitzvah. Maybe this whole discussion doesn't apply to hiddur mitzvah. That's what the Ksav Sofer is debating. What's interesting is, I don't get it. What's the reason we said why Kivsa ein Zakakla, you would not have to relight it? Or the other way, Kivsa Zakakla. How do we explain the Machlokas? So we said it's based, what's the mitzvah of lighting candles? Is it the action, that's what we paskin like, or is it the result? Now, either way, where is there room to make a chilek, a difference, between what we do for the regular mitzvah or what we do for hinder mitzvah? Manav shach. If we're focused on the action of lighting, okay, I fulfilled my mitzvah, I fulfilled my hinder mitzvah once I lit that candle, or those extra candles when they go out. If I'm focused on the result, seemingly the gather that the mitzvah is the result applies to the one candle or the seven candles. Both of them should have the same din. Where is the ksav sofer find room to make a chilek, to make a difference? So halacha found in the ksav sofer, but it's hard to understand. Tell you another halacha, which I found. It's also quite strange. One of the famous svarim on Hanukkah is the Beis HaLevi. Now, Yosef Dovber Soloveitchik I, father of the Brisker dynasty, the Beis HaLevi, original Ravin Brisk. So, he has a Sefer on Chumash, Beis HaLevi al Torah. In the back, Sefer for the most part is on Bereishis, maybe has a couple pieces elsewhere, but he has quite a bit on Hanukkah. And there, within Hanukkah, he has the following distinction. In this Gemara, we're talking about kivsa. If the flame gets extinguished, what about this scenario? It definitely could happen in my house. You know, you always tell your kids, you know, stay back, don't go near the flames. Okay, Baruch Hashem, my kids listen. Say, so stay far away from the flames. And they say, okay, we're not gonna sit there and play by the flames. So they're playing the other side of the room, and they're playing catch. One of my kids, good lefties, they go and they throw a nice fireball. The other side of the room hits the candle, the oil, and the oil spills. And now my flame went out. I have five or two. Don't worry, we'll prepare. My wife is baking salt there. Tinfoil everywhere. Right? Yeah. Pesach is another, you know, Pesach. We did Sukkot earlier and now up to Pesach. Yeah. Tinfoil everywhere. Baking soda. Yeah, we're prepared. There's no fire. But I lost my flame. Is there a difference in halacha to the flame going out? Or the oil being spilled? That you could also have. I also found these inserts, they're far from perfect, right? They don't exactly necessarily fit perfectly into your menorah. They tilt the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Like, so these things could spill. Hopefully not in your shirt. But is there a difference in halacha if the oil spills? So the Beis HaLevi says yes. Maybe the only time we would have a discussion, perhaps for you to relight, is if the flame goes out. Okay, the flame goes out, so just relight it. But for you to go through the process of putting in more oil, I guess in his days they didn't have the pre-made ones, but you go through the process of putting in more oil, no. That the rabbis didn't make you do. Huh? What's he talking about? How does he make a difference between the flame going out and the oil spilling? Again, the same manav shach. Either way you look at it. If the mitzvah is the action of lighting, I did the action. Who cares what happened next? The flame goes out, the oil spills. Either way, I did the mitzvah. If you can tell me the mitzvah is the result, you're right. Either way, I'm in trouble. There's no flame, there's no oil. So I'm not having the result of it burning for 30 minutes. So where does the Beis HaLevi find room to come up with such a distinction? Strange. Yes?
Could it be potential? Because if there's not enough oil, there's no potential. But if the wick is there, if it caught fire again, it would still be potential.
Interesting. Now the case is I did have the potential originally. I had enough oil originally. My kids didn't knock it down before I lit, then knocked down after I lit. So, still tricky. How do you explain it? And I found a third strange halacha. What happens if you yourself extinguish it by accident? B'shogeg. We said if you do it deliberately, that's a bad thing. And especially if you had in mind to begin with, you're not Yotze. Well, let's say later you got upset, whatever. Some reason, the guy goes and bemazed, knocks it out. So the Prima Gadim, and this is actually brought in the Shaar Tzion. It's on your sheets, on the first slide before Os Gimel. The Prima Gadim brings a distinction between you blowing it out, bemazed, intentionally, versus you blowing it out, you extinguishing it, b'shogeg. You're playing around, you're waving your hands, you're dancing, and next thing you knew, your wind, you made wind, and it went out. So he makes a distinction. If you did it b'mezid, you'd have to relight it. But if it's only b'shogeg, you don't. I don't get it. The same question I could ask over here. If the mitzvah is the action, so I did it. What happens afterwards? It goes out b'mezid, it goes out b'shogeg. What do I care? The mitzvah is done. After mitzvah is the result, again, either way, I don't have the result. Well, I don't have the result because of something I did, b'mezid. So now I have to relight it. Why should that be? Knas? Punish you? Hard to understand. So I found these three questions were addressed by modern people. Found the Rosh Hashiva of Lakewood, Rabbi Ruchem Olshan, has a piece on this. And he has a very interesting idea. So let me just recap this part two. Sounds like we have three scenarios where it seemingly is problematic with the same issue. Number one was a Ksav Sofer who made a distinction between the mitzvah, your one candle which you need for the mitzvah, and all the other ones which are just hiddur mitzvah, the added candles for the added nights of Hanukkah. Why is there room to make a distinction between the two? Either way you look at it, the mitzvah of the maisa, or the mitzvah is the result. The second point, from the Beis Halevi, the difference between the candle going out or the oil spilling. What difference does that make? And thirdly, the distinction of the Prima Gadim. Whether you extinguished it by accident, the shogeg, or b'mezid. Seemingly, these questions are pointing that we have the wrong understanding within the machlokas. There must be a different understanding there, which is the underlying theme of these three people, the Ksav Sofer, the Prima Gadin, the Beis Halevi. It can't be they understood it the way we simply did, because there's no room for them to make such distinctions. There has to be something else going on over here. So comes along Rabbi Ruchem Olshan, he says a very interesting idea. He wants to argue and redefine the man d'amar who holds kivsa ein zakakla. Remember, the simple way we understood him, what's the halakhic reason why we say you don't have to relight? Because the mitzvah is very simple. The action. Once you did the action, you're finished. The other shita, Mandar Kipsa Zakakla, he says the mitzvah is the result. So they have two distinct ways of looking at it. That's why they came to two different halakha conclusions. Comes along Rabbi Ruchem Olshan, and he says the following interesting idea. He says that even the Mandar Amor holds Kipsa in Zakakla, when you light it, if it goes out, you don't have to relight. He holds of both. He holds his two mitzvahs there. There's a mitzvah. The main mitzvah is the action. To light the menorah. To light something which has the potential to burn for 30 minutes. But there's a second mitzvah, of the result, the Persume Nisa, to see those candles burning for 30 minutes. Very interesting idea. And therefore, he says like this. Let's talk in the basic case. When my menorah goes out after burning for 10 minutes, halacha ma'isa kivsein zakakla, I don't have to relight. Why? Because I fulfilled the mitzvah of halachas ner chanukah. But you know what he says? There is a secondary mitzvah. There's two mitzvahs here. There is a secondary mitzvah for the result fit to burn for a half hour. You might have done the main mitzvah, but there's a secondary mitzvah. In fact, I guess he'll give even more teeth, more understanding why the Mishnah Berurah and others would say it's a recommended chumrah to do. Because there is another aspect, there is another idea for one to relight. There's a secondary mitzvah. So once there's a secondary mitzvah, you might have done the mitzvah and you're finished with it. But being the fact there's a second aspect, then the halacha is that one would relight. Very interesting. If his idea is true, it definitely does give more teeth and more reason why one should relight. There's a second mitzvah. This also could answer the three questions that we asked. Let's start with Hiddur mitzvah. The Ksav Sofer brings an opinion that one does not have to relight for Hiddur mitzvah, but for the mitzvah itself, you would. What difference does that make? He said, if the mitzvah is just the lighting, you did it. The answer is, no. Even the Manda Amar, even the one way we paskin, Kivsa Ein Zakakla, agrees as a secondary mitzvah to burn for 30 minutes. However, that secondary mitzvah, how far are they going instituting it? The Ksav Sofer says, they only instituted that secondary mitzvah for the one candle, which is the chiyah for you to do. Beyond that one candle, they didn't insist on such a thing. And that would explain why the Ksav's over. He says further, I could also explain the Beis Halevi. You know why he makes a distinction between the flame going out versus the oil missing? You could say, there's room to say a chiluk. Because the mitzvah is not finished when you lit it. It was, but it wasn't. There's two aspects to it. So the rabbis put a secondary chiv on you to make sure it burns for a half hour. How far did they go? When the rabbis are putting a secondary chiv on a person, you already did the mitzvah. But, you know, this is your second degree. Right? Sometimes people go to college, right? It's not enough to go for one degree. You have to have a backup. Rabbi Yerucham Olshan says, there's a backup mitzvah of Halakas Neras Chanukah. But how far do you have to go for your backup? For that, the rabbis only troubled you if the flame goes out. To redo the whole thing, the oil spills, that far they make you do. That explains that. And it also explains the difference between Shogig and Nazir. Where it intentionally goes out, I'm sorry, you might have done the mitzvah in the first moment, but by all means, boy, do we have a responsibility on you to make sure it burns for 30 minutes. There we're going to make you redo it, if you extinguish it. But if it goes out by Shogig, it wasn't your fault. Okay, over there, if the wind blew it, it's one thing. But there, it didn't blow out. You don't really have the same obligation to redo it. That is what Rabbi Yerucham Olshan says in... he has his own Sefer in Hilchas Chanukah, and I found years before that, before a Sefer was even published, there was a Torah journal called Mishulchan Malachim, which talked about different things in Chanukah, and Rabbi Yerucham Olshan submitted specifically this piece to be published there. Obviously, he enjoyed this piece, thought this was a beautiful piece. But Lanias Daiti, and not just my own das, I practiced part of the share with some of my dear Talmidim in the Beis Medrash. We debated this in my house the other night, And we, Nimnu V'gamru, we were of the opinion that we didn't like this pshat. And our conclusion was based on the following pretty basic question. Is anytime someone comes to you and tells you there's two dinim, there's two mitzvahs, pasuk pshat, we looked at it, the mitzvah is either the maisa or the result. For someone to come in and say, no, I'll take them both. Right? You got the smorgasbord. We like, you know, the waiter comes to you. We like chicken or meat. I'll take both.
Chinese
right? You don't get the right to take both. Chazal made one mitzvah of Alokas Neres Hanukkah. You're telling me there's two mitzvahs there? The mitzvah is the action of lighting. I did the mitzvah. I'm yotzei the mitzvah. Oh, there's a secondary mitzvah. There's a backup mitzvah. Like, where does that come from?
And we find many times Allah that we want to be chayshish for the other mandomer. So therefore, this is the ikker mitzvah of the maisah. But if you can, you should try to be.
He wasn't saying that though. He's explaining further
that
it was set up not just for there. Practically in halacha, there are two shitas. Must be chayshish for the other opinion. No, he's setting up mitchila. A takana was set up with these two dinim. You're right. That I would accept. But here he's setting up. No.
If you say the maisa, they're the same, then they're a distinction without a difference. There's no difference between kafs and zakah and kafs and zakah. Because at the end of the day, even if you hold kafs and zakah, you're saying you're still a dinim of the results, then right. It becomes a distinction without a difference.
Right. He's trying to argue, well, me ikar halakhically repasken kafs and zakah law, because the main mitzvah you did, but you didn't do the backup. And that's what we have to
learn. There's
yeah. So I do not think there's such a
one action. Can't go for two sides.
Very interesting. To be honest, I thought maybe he would darsh it. That's why he make two brachas. First bracha is on the first mitzvah, and the second bracha is on the second mitzvah. But I'm not going to go there. That's also not possible. Possible that we say both. Possible that we say two brachas on one mitzvah.
Not everybody did.
Right?
Used to do it.
Right, you could potentially have one bracha without the other.
You're right. No, the meaning originally was to make a bracha first of halach, and then after you lit all the candles, then you make the halach.
Yeah. True. So I would like, good, I got 4 minutes. I would like to offer another idea. I found this in my notebooks from 12 years ago when I was in Kolo. I came across this idea from a totally different avenue. But the idea, I believe, fits here perfectly to answer these questions. Is I have another redefinition of the mitzvah of the machlokas here, of kivsa zakakla in zakakla. I would say that the man, the amr that we pass the line, kivsa in zakakla, agrees the mitzvah is the result. The mitzvah is not the action. The mitzvah of lakas nerachanaka is the result of having your candles burning for 30 minutes. That's what the mitzvah is. Not the action of just lighting it. So Rabbi, so how come if it goes out, don't you have to relight it? The answer is the following. You know what the answer is? Similar, but a little different. I did my part. When it comes to fire, Aish by definition is something which you need other forces of nature to be involved with. I remember in the Gol Gemara, Baba Kama talks about any damages with Aish. So it's tricky. It's Koch Achar Me'uruv Bo. There's another force of nature. The wind is an innate part of any time you're going to use fire. So the rabbis say, okay, I want you to use fire for the mitzvah of Lokas Nerachanukah. Knowing quite well that we could utilize the powers of the wind sometimes, but we don't have full control over it. We can't harness it fully. So I'm going to light my candles, and then they might have to go out. So the mitzvah might be a mitzvah to do everything, and the mitzvah really is for it to light for 30 minutes. But you know what happens? Kivsa in zakakla. If it doesn't last for 30 minutes, we don't ask you to do more. Because what can a person do? It's your part. Light the candle. Make sure it takes effect. Do everything there. But if it goes out, it goes out. There's a svara, there's a logic to say, as long as you did your part, even if the mitzvah is the result, but you know what? That's a fulfillment of the mitzvah. It's a chiddush. But if you say that, then I believe you could also explain these additional three halachas. The reason why one would have to potentially, the chiluk, between it going between the ikar mitzvah and the hiddur mitzvah is the following. You have this excuse. Look, I did my part. Okay. Where? How far do we accept such an excuse? Maybe we only accept it for the hiddur mitzvah. But maybe for the mitzvah itself, that's not enough. And since the mitzvah is the result, at least that one candle has to burn forever. Has to burn for 30 minutes. That would be the Ksav Sofer. To explain the Beis HaLevi, the difference between the candle going out versus the oil, similar thing. Look, you have an excuse. I did my part. Okay. But there's a tzad halacha of kivsa zakavla that you should relight it. Because you didn't burn the full amount of time. But again, where are you excused? Where are you not excused? Well, the flame just went out. It's an easy thing for you just to relight it. Go do that. But where the oil spilled, and now, okay, there's nothing burning there. Okay, that's a harder thing. You know, maybe that we don't require you to do. And so to also shogeg and mezid. If you did a mezid there, what are you going to claim? Huh, forces of nature, what do you want from me? Buddy, you're the guy who extinguished it. So there, you have no excuse. The mitzvah is for it to burn 30 minutes, got to redo it. But if it happened to shogeg, I'm dealing with a volatile thing. I'm trying to light a candle, not so easy, using the forces of nature. A wind could come, it could fall over. It's not an easy thing to do. So perhaps in those scenarios, that's where we give you the excuse of kivsa in zakaka. Either way, what should emerge from this share today is we should definitely do our part to make sure our environment around us is perfect for those lights of Hanukkah to take effect. And when the environment is, when we're ready ourselves to bring in the lights of Hanukkah, Bez Hashem, we should be Zocha to enjoy the lights, appreciate the lights, and have a freilichen and wonderful 8 days of Hanukkah.
Well, there is a shiur next week. Watch your